Indeed, it is a pleasure to have Brother Kenneth and Sister Carmelita Furnetz with us from Vernon, British Columbia, again this year. And Brother Kenneth is going to serve us this morning on a very timely subject, tomorrow's chaos. Tomorrow's chaos. Brother Ken.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for your lovely prayer in Carlton. Good morning, dear brethren.
Good morning.
It's a lovely morning, isn't it? Just beautiful. And a beautiful setting it is. Sister Carmelita and I are very happy to be with you. We love you very dearly. And why we love you is because you're one of the anointed. And that's so nice to have you with us here. We bring you the Christian loving greetings of the class we meet with, the brethren there. We have individual greetings from Brother and Sister David and Bernice Blenko. They wanted to be remembered to you here. Les and John Phillips wanted to be remembered to you also. And a dear brother who lives in Chilliwack, British Columbia, Brother Wedler. Brother Wedler. Some of you know his first name. First Gentile. He's a first Gentile. Brother Cornelius Weller, he wanted to be remembered to all of you. Also, we had a call from Brother Margie and Mike Balco. They wanted to be remembered to you. And Brother Sid Jones also send a Christian loving greetings to you. Brethren from Northern Canada, Northern Alberta, brethren send their Christian loving greetings to you here, as well as in Saskatchewan. They wanted to be remembered to you here. And our trip from here is going to take us to Vancouver, Vancouver to Calgary, Calgary to Prince Albert Convention, and from there to Yorkton, Saskatchewan Convention. So we're going to have a busy 3-4 weeks. I hope that the subject I have chosen in some way will stimulate our minds and hearts. As you remember the hymn, there's an eye that never sleeps. There's an eye that never sleeps. And so we want to sort of continue our discussion on the systems that will fail. And we have a symposium on that, which is very beautiful. The systems that will fail. What happens when they finally do fail? What is going to happen? Are you going to be here? Hope not. In Revelation 7, verse 1, one of the brethren quoted that scripture here over the platform. And it says this, "After this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind," this is from the New American Standard, "so that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree." And so the question arises, why hold back the four winds? What's the reason? Well, the answer is in the third and fourth verse of Revelation 7. "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." I think Jim Parkinson brought that up. "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 for every tribe of the sons of Israel." We all know, brethren, that Revelation is a book of symbols, right? What are winds? When you have winds blow from four directions, east, west, north, south, it causes a whirlwind, which becomes a force, which becomes a tornado, which results in a very devastating effect. I believe that winds represent strife, anarchy, violence, confusion. It's a great social revolution. And then he says, "Hurt not the earth. Hurt not the organized governmental society of the world, which we know is ruled by Satan. Hurt not the sea." What is the sea? Isaiah 57:20 tells us what the sea is. It's a restless, turbulent, dissatisfied, disorganized messes of mankind. And then Jeremiah 23, verses 19 to 20, tells us this. Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down to the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until it is performed and carried out the purpose of his heart. And then it says this. In the last days you will clearly understand it. Tomorrow's chaos. Jeremiah 25, verses 32 and 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Evil is going forth from nation to nation. Is that true? Sure it is. And a great storm is being stirred up from the remotest parts of the earth. And those slain by the Lord on that day shall be from one end of the earth to the other. They shall not be lamented, gathered, or buried. They shall be like dung on the face of the ground. They will be also the downfall of Babylon. This conveys a thought to us, a thought of a severe strife of the powers of the air. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 2, Paul says these powers of the air, or winds, are not powers of natural air, but are powers referred to by Paul when he speaks of Satan as the prince and the power of the air. And so letting loose of these winds, or wind powers, will show that God has let go his hand of restraint. And that will result in a complete overthrow of the social order in anarchy. Tomorrow's chaos. Today, God has a restraint to, you can only go so far, Satan, no more. We find that in spite of the many advantages of our day, brethren, and the blessings showered upon the world, are the people thankful? No. Are they grateful? No. Discontent is growing, and the result will be great strife and a complete fall of our present conditions in the world. Daniel 12:1 follows after the four winds of Revelation 7:1 are loosened. And Daniel 12:1 says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Has this scripture been fulfilled? Some says yes. Others say no. Why not? Not until the mystery of God is finished, Revelation 10:7. I want you to note something here. There is something very forceful about this statement in Daniel 12:1. And that word is such. Such. What does it mean? Denoting a particular thing. Something very great. Our thought is that it'll be the most intense as well as the most widely spread throughout the world. We can see that anarchy this time would affect mankind more than in any previous time of the world's history. We have reason to believe that this trouble in some respects will be more savage-like, never seen in the past. Don't forget, you will not see this. You will not be here. Because this is tomorrow's chaos. And brethren, we all should be beyond the veil. But someone says, well, wait a minute. Look at the atrocities committed in every age of the world's history. That's true. Take, for instance, the past 100 years. Hitler, Stalin, and other kings, even in our present time. What about Yugoslavia? I mentioned yesterday the reign of Stalin. 54 million people died under his reign. We have every reason to believe our Lord's words to be literally true, that the intents of the coming trouble will be such as never, never before has been known worldwide. The whole earth will be full of violence. Luke the 17th chapter, verses 26 to 30. The Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be it also in the days of the Son of Man. It is true that the Savior gave the thought that in his second advent he would be present, unknown to the world, doing a work of gathering the church, of making up his jewels, and that the world would not know of his presence. Until when? Until the time of trouble was upon them. And he said that they would be eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. This is true. Life goes on. And the world today is going into large amalgamations. And this is what we're talking about, that these system failures are coming about. Why are they going to large amalgamations? To beat the other guy. Banks are amalgamating. Why? To have the powerful lending force in the world. Today, the Japanese bank, the Mitsubishi bank, and the Hong Kong bank are the largest bank in the world today. Are they concerned about their own people in Japan? No. The financial institutions themselves in Japan are falling, are crumbling, yet the banks are rich. They're interested in international banking lending systems. They don't want to talk to the little guy anymore. We have large amalgamations of TV systems, cable systems, auto dealerships. One man will own 10 dealerships. We have auto plants being amalgamated. We have insurance companies amalgamating. You have large chain stores under one giant name. You have giant superstores. Large oil companies amalgamating. And naturally, the international bank. And I believe that this system's failure, as far as financial is concerned, is when the international bank, one should fall, it'll be a domino effect. And what does that create? A chaos. A chaos. You have today the new money in Europe, which hopefully is supposed to go into circulation by the year 2005, the euro dollar. Is that going to be the answer? A great wealth in gold is controlled by Rome. Each church controls its wealth in one central area. The Lutheran Church of North America, its head office is in Louisville, Kentucky, in St. Louis, Missouri. They control all the financial systems of every church on the North American continent. And so the people have become slaves to these giants in the world. We read of the time that God beheld the thoughts of man, and man's hearts were evil, and only evil continually, the scriptures tell us. Today we have the computer system, which should be a blessing. And for you, brethren, who have children, it has become a curse. Why? Survey tells us that 70% of the things you find on the internet is towards evil. 76% are towards evil. Only 24% is towards good. One of the largest industries, so to speak, they call it an industry, on the internet in 1998 brought in $1.5 billion. What do you think that was? Pornography. And it'll be higher this year as more people buy computers. Matthew 6:34. The Lord says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? Let us leave the whole matter in the Lord's hands and trust in Him, brethren. In Revelation 7:1, these four winds, the loosening of these four winds, I believe is still future. When the last member of the 144,000 is sealed, Revelation 7:3, symbolically, the Lord's goat's blood now is taken into the most holy and applied in the mercy seat. That hasn't happened yet. Now the narrow way is closed. When this happens, the door is shut. The world is going into what? tomorrow's chaos. Tomorrow's chaos. Revelation 10, verse 7, then the mystery of God is finished. What else is happening? Revelation 19, verse 7, the marriage of the Lamb is ready. Yes? Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. And verse 9, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great company, the great multitude. Now comes Daniel 12:1. Let me tell you something about Daniel 12:1. Prior to Brother Russell studying what the Adventists, or the ex-Adventists, they were not Adventists anymore, they were ex-Adventists that he studied with, they felt that Michael stood up anywhere between 1799 and 1874. That was their thought. But what did Brother Russell say? The fourth volume on page 414, volume 4, page 414, Brother Russell says this: the social system, the earth, the course of nature, cannot be set on fire until, that word until, the Lord permits the match to be struck. The great decisive battle between cannot begin, Brother Russell says, until the great Michael, the captain of our salvation, stands forth and gives word of command. Even though there previously be frequent skirmishes all along the lines. How true that is. We do have skirmishes. We have a skirmish in Yugoslavia now, don't we? Then he says, and a great captain informs who? His royal legion. Who's the royal legion? Brother Elsa says, the church. That the catastrophe, though imminent, cannot occur, Brother Elsa says, until the king's own little flock, the elect, have been sealed and gathered. So who is Michael? Michael is Christ the Messiah, head and body complete. On page, fourth volume, page 579, Brother Russell says, the great tribulation of this winter time is to be unprecedented, and our Lord's assurance is that nothing to compare it has or shall ever come upon the world. This positively identifies his language with the trouble of the close of this gospel age, of which the prophet says, at that time shall Michael, and then Brother Russell has in brackets, Christ, stand up, in brackets, assume control, and there shall be a time of trouble, such, again that word such comes up, such as never was since there was a nation. It identifies it also with a period mentioned in Revelation 11, verses 15 to 18. And the seven angels sounded, there rose voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord of His Christ. And Brother also has in brackets, Messiah. And He will reign forever and ever. We give Thee thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because Thou hast taken Thy power and hast began to reign. And the nations are angry, and their wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and the time to give the reward to the bondservants of the prophets, and to the saints, and to those who fear Thy name, the small and the great, to destroy those who destroy the earth. So great will this trouble be, that without some intervening power to cut it short, the entire race would eventually be exterminated. But God has prepared the intervening power, His kingdom, Christ, and His church, the elect. The elect will intervene at the proper time and bring order out of earth's confusion. End of quote. Here's another interesting point Brother Russell brings out. December 1st, 1915. And he says this: when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your deliverance draweth nigh. Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 to 28, he quotes the scriptures here. He says, we rejoice not in a trouble which surely saddens every tender heart, but we do rejoice that since the world will be prepared for that grand change of government in no other way than through a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1, he quotes, Matthew 24:21, And then he says this, Messiah is about to stand forth. About to stand forth. How? Clothed with divine power to take unto himself his great power and reign for the blessing of all the families of the earth. End of quote. What does Matthew 24, 21 and 22 say that he quoted? For then there will be great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall be. And unless those days should be cut short, no life would have been saved. But by the chosen ones, those days shall be cut short. That's New American Standard. And then he quotes Luke 21, verses 25 to 28. There should be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. I'm sure you've studied this scripture about perplexity. And we all know the word perplexity in the Greek means no way out. We say today there is no way out. The people say, no, not yet. Not yet. There is a way out. If you don't like Portland, you can move to Seattle. And if you don't like Seattle, you can move to Fairbanks, Alaska. Right? If you don't like the Citibank, you can go to First National Bank. There is a way out yet. Look at Yugoslavia. They're trying to make a way out, aren't they? But that's coming. When there's no way out, that's a little different. And then they shall see the Son of Man come in a cloud with power and great glory. Also, Revelation 11, 17, and Genesis 22, 18. Now, we believe the church will not be here in the flesh to witness tomorrow's chaos. The church will not be here to witness the release of the four winds. Where will they be? At the royal wedding. While the royal wedding is taking place, Apostle James says what is going to be happening? Apostle James in verse 5, in chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for miseries which are come upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted and the rust will be a witness against you and you'll consume your flesh like fire. It is the last days that you have stored up your treasure. And then in verse 4 he says, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which have been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. I often think about Europe. When our grandparents and our parents came to America, they got away from the Lord, didn't they? Is that what they wanted to do? They were sick and tired of being overruled by lords, and they came here, and we're almost experiencing the same thing. We have taxes and taxes and more taxes. Malachi 4, verse 1 says this, for behold, a day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and that day is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it'll leave them neither root nor branch. Joel 2:2, it says it's going to be a day of darkness, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Joel verse 11. Amos 5, verse 20. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness in it? Tomorrow's chaos will result because the salt of the earth is gone. The light of the world is gone. Who are these? You. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Now that these two things are gone, the world is in disarray. The world is in chaos. Ezekiel 21, verse 27. We wouldn't have time to read this. What about Isaiah 34, verses 1, 2, and 4? Jeremiah 10, 10. At his wrath the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Jeremiah 25, verses 31 to 33. Thus say the Lord, behold, evil is going forth from nation to nation. A great storm is being stirred up. The four winds are loose. From the remotest parts of the earth. You all know Zephaniah 3:8, don't you? What about Malachi 6, verses 1 and 2? Hear now what the Lord is saying. Arise, plead your case before the kingdoms, and let the hills hear your voice. Listen, you mountains, to the controversy of the Lord in your enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Listen to the last phrase. Even with Israel he will dispute. That's coming. Tomorrow's chaos will bring distress. Zephaniah 1, verses 17 and 18. I will bring distress on men, so they will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Ezekiel 7, verse 19. They shall fling their silver into the streets, and their gold shall become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetites, nor can they fill their stomachs, for the iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. The Canadian government, the American government, in 1991 has sent millions of dollars to Ukraine to help them have democracy when they broke away from communist system. What did the government do with the money? The people are still poor, and they're worse poor this year than they were last year. Where's the money? They took the money, they went to other lands, and they bought large estates for themselves with your tax dollar. You see the unrighteousness that there's in the world that exists? While the four winds have havoc on the world, Israel is going to have its experience. And that experience that Israel is going to have is going to be the final climax of the four winds. You can read Revelation 16, 16, and also the two chapters in Ezekiel 38 and 39. In Joel, the third chapter, verse 16. And the Lord roars from Zion, utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble. Now, our brethren are going to talk about this afternoon, about the heavens and the other part. And the Lord is a refuge of his people and a stronghold of the sons of Israel. But I want you to examine these scriptures very closely. And it's Psalms 107, starting with verse 25. It says this: For he spoke and raised up the stormy wind. Stormy wind? The four winds are loose. Which lifted up the waves of the sea, restless society. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul is melted in their misery. And then verse 20 says, they reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Who's this? Israel. Jacob's final trouble. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man. They are at their wits' end. What does it mean, their wits' end? Their wisdom has run out. Israel's wisdom has run out. So has the world. The banks didn't help them. Amalgamation didn't help them. And in verse 20 says, then, the word then means future tense. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, And what did he do? He brought them out of their distresses. What does that mean? God intervenes on behalf of Jacob's trouble. Verse 29, he caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. The sea to be hushed? How do you do that? In order for the storm to be still and the restless mankind to be hushed, something has to take place. Revelation 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of dragon, the serpent, the old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now that Satan is bound, let's go back to Psalms 107. You remember verse 29, he caused a storm to be still. Now let's read verse 30. Then, again, future tense. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to their desired haven. Oh, peace at last. Today we're signing all kinds of peace treaties. And they result in assassinations. Slaughter people. Ezekiel 39, if you like to read this, verses 27 to 29. Now go back to Joel, the third chapter now, and verse 17. Then, again future tense, a step further, you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain, so Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. Yes, the holy man of old will be raised from the dead. Who are these holy men of old? From Abel down to John the Baptist. Psalms 45, 16. These holy men of old will be princesses in all the earth, we were told. Joel 3, verse 18. It says, it will come about in that day. What kind of day is that? That day is a morning without clouds. What does it mean? The morning is a Sabbath rest for the world of mankind. What are clouds? Romans 8:22, Paul tells us the whole creation travailed in pain. The whole world is in confusion, quarrels, wars between nations, religious wars. Do you realize how many religious wars we have today? You should count them. In every country. You have discontent. You have extreme poverty. You have dishonesty, you have sickness, you have pain, you have envies, you have jealousy, diseases, tears. The list goes on and on. This system has to fall. You cannot keep patching and patching the band-aid upon band-aid. Pretty soon it erupts into a cancer. Can you imagine when the morning arrives, the day after the chaos? There'll be no death, no funerals, no tears, no mourning, no more clouds. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verses 1 to 11, we wouldn't read it now. But I'd like you to read the explanation Brother Russell has in reprint 5405. This was in 1914. Brother Russell says this, Apostle points out concerning Hebrews 4, there remained a rest for the people of God, a future rest. The church, you and I, will enter into that rest when we experience a resurrection change. When we are made like the Savior and enter into the joys of our Lord, that will be the complete rest. And then Brother also says this, so far as the world is concerned, that great Messiah's reign of 1,000 years will be the Sabbath of the world in general. They will enter into that rest by coming into harmony with God. The great Sabbath, the 1,000-year day, the 7,000-year day of earth's history, will be the time of His kingdom, in which all mankind will be privileged to be healed from sin, sickness, sorrow, and pain, and to be brought to the full perfection of human nature to all that was lost in Adam and redeemed at Calvary. End of quote. In Zechariah 8:22, but you remember the one in Joel 18 that says there'll come in that day that mountains will drip sweet wine. What does that mean? Pure truth. The hills will flow with milk, nourishment. Nourishment from whom? From the royal family. The church, the 144,000, will provide nourishment in that day. And Zechariah says in 8:22, so many peoples and mighty nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. What's happened to the world now? The world is completely turned around. No more chaos. Pure message of truth, Zephaniah 3:9. And then Zechariah 14:8-9 says what? And that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. Verse 9, the Lord will be the king over all the earth. And what are you going to be? You're going to be the royal queen. You remember the story in the Bible, Rachel weeping for her children? The Lord comforted her. Your children shall return from the land of the enemy. Now Rachel is no longer weeping for her children that have died in that coming age, because all the children will be with her. The world will be free from all evil, clean, fresh air. All that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. No more sickness and sorrow and pain, no more tears, no more hunger. Brand new kingdom laws coming from the royal family. And that is what is called the majestic rule. This will be called the age of blessing, the age of restoration that God has promised through his holy prophets of old. You, the royal family, what our King, Christ Jesus, are going to fulfill the promise made to Father Abraham. Indeed, in thy seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Brethren, in closing, my prayer on your behalf is that somehow, in some way, that we all can be at the royal wedding with our bridegroom. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day before us, for this morning. We're so thankful for thy truth and thy spirit. And Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that thou hast called us together as thy children, as thy people, to this place. Heavenly Father, we pray that Holy Spirit be upon each and every one of us gathered here. Continue to lead us in the path of righteousness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou hast keep us away from all evil, all danger. And Heavenly Father, we pray that thou hast hold us in the palm of thy hand to fulfill our covenant of sacrifice we had made with thee. Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon the fellowship time. Bless our conversation one with the other, that it bring honor and glory unto thy holy name. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, we have come short where we fail. As we commit ourselves in the further care and keeping, we give thee thanks and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.